This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 14th, 2018, the second Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? A lot of times, usually in the context of an admonition or a rebuke for some words and or actions, you'll get this response from folks if you confront them with their substandard performance, so to speak. And that's, you can't judge me. You can't judge what's in my heart. Oh, to the contrary. Yes, I can. Anybody can. How can you judge what's in someone's heart? By the way they act. That's what St. Paul's talking about. Your bodies are members of Christ. Not what's in your heart is a member of Christ. Not what you think, not what your faith is. Your bodies are members of Christ. Our faith is all-encompassing. I talk, maybe a lot of people think ad nauseum, about practical Catholicism. Catholicism that you can see. Catholicism that isn't about what goes on in here, in your heart, or behind your closed doors. But how you live your life, every moment of every day. Because when Paul says that your bodies are members of Christ, he is telling us that absolutely everything that we do, everything, underscore it, is relevant to our spiritual life. What you do, how you act, what you say, how you dress, is a reflection of your faith. You can tell people who are reverent. You can tell people who are irreverent. You can just tell. You can't judge a book. You know, is there the anomalous situation? Maybe. But generally speaking, because St. Paul says it, your bodies are members of Christ. And if they're members of Christ, you need to reflect it. We understand that our bodies, everything in our being, is bought with a price. What it says in that second reading, you are not your own, but you're bought with a price. You're not your own. And notice, when St. Paul he's talking to the Corinthian church, when he says, you are not your own, he's not talking about everybody. He's talking about you who are sitting in here today. You have a special responsibility. You have to reflect Jesus Christ. The pagan is supposed to. They don't. And it's a crime when they don't. It's a sin. But for us, it's even worse. Hold that thought. You're not your own. You do not have the power to make decisions outside of the parameters of God's revealed will. You can't believe things that the scripture, for instance, you can't believe something is okay that the scriptures prohibit. You cannot do it. You have no license. That in and of itself is sin. You, by your baptism, have been united to Christ Jesus. He who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Becomes one spirit with him. Hence my oft-repeated statement that we are not members of the church, as in people are members of the Elks Lodge, or members of a club, members of the Rotary. Okay? You are an integral part of Christ's body by your baptism, and it never changes. No matter how you may change, that never changes. It is indelible. By your baptism, you've been incorporated with Jesus Christ. Hence, you cannot make decisions that are outside the will of God, no matter how good they may sound to you. No matter what society may say, you cannot do it because your bodies are members of Christ and must reflect Him and what He teaches. We have to teach what He says and all of what He says, not what sounds nice, not what makes us feel good, everything, absolutely everything. That first reading today, and for those of you who go to daily mass, you know, it was just a couple days ago that was read in daily mass, same reading, this Samuel reading. And unfortunately, it was read the same way from the lectionary a couple days ago as it was today. We get this almost ad nauseum, Samuel, here I am. I didn't call you. Samuel, here I am. We keep getting that over and over again. Yeah, we get the picture. If you're going to leave out anything, let's leave a couple of the calls of Samuel, okay? So we get these Samuel calls. I didn't call you. Go back, you know, and when the Lord, you know, if he calls again, say, here I am, your servant hears, speak, Lord. And then we get that Samuel, let's go ahead and use his words, not mine. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. He called him three times, and Samuel said, your servant's here, Lord, speak. And he grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. What words? We didn't hear any words. They must not be in the Bible. Yeah, they are. He just didn't hear them. And, you know, at the time, Samuel's probably 11, 12 years old. God speaks to him and he does, hey, Samuel, you're going to be a great priest and I'm really a merciful God and I love everybody and I just want to know that you're a priest and you're supposed to tell everybody how much I love them, how much mercy I have, and how everybody goes to heaven. Because boys will be boys. That's not what he told Samuel. He said, Samuel, I want you to go into Eli, your main boss. I want you to go into priest Levi, little boy, 11, 12 years old. And I want you to tell him this. I want you to tell him, and this is in part, this is just a little part of it, for the iniquity which he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, he did not restrain them. His family is going to be cut off. There is no satisfaction that he can make. There is no expiation that can be. He has let this go on so long without addressing this. And it wasn't Eli that was sinning. It was his sons. But because Eli did not restrain them, he was going to be cut. Within a couple days, all his sons and Eli were dead. Go in there, little boy, and tell him that. And then after he gets done telling him all those things, he said, and do not leave one word out that I said. And Samuel has to walk into Eli and tell him what the Lord says. There is nothing that you can do, priest. There is nothing that you can do to avoid this. There is no sacrifice. There are no prayers. You're done. Because you didn't restrain your sons from evil. It is our lot as God's servants to restrain evil. One of the prayers at the beginning of Mass today that was chanted, I hope you pay attention to the chants, but the prayer is, thank you for giving us your word that we may avoid destruction. Thank you for telling us what we're doing wrong that we won't spend eternity in hell, in a nutshell. Thank you, God, for letting us know how we're supposed to act. If you don't tell people how they're supposed to act, you will be held to account. Well, that's for you priests and deacons and bishops and stuff to tell people that. That's for everybody. Look, we're not clericalists. We're the priesthood of all believers. Yes, indeed you are, and you have that responsibility. You must restrain the stuff that is wrong over which you have authority. Anybody to whom the Holy Spirit leads you to discuss matters with them, they bring stuff up, you know it's wrong, you gotta say it. No way, man, that's hard. Yes, it is hard. It's absolutely hard. Deacon Hodel preached an excellent sermon this week about sin being a terminal illness with which we are born. It's true. We are terminally ill. But there is a cure for our terminal illness, that illness that was a result, if it's not cured, in the second death of separation from God. It's not easy to tell people, you're ill and you're going to die. You could possibly die. You need to fix it. That can't be, I don't care how long you're a doctor, that's not an easy thing to say to people. Now, I've been there. I've been sitting across the desk. You know, what does he say? He looked at me and he said, oh man, your test results, we got a problem. We? They're my test results. I don't know anything about you. We got a problem. You know? Because why? It's not easy to look at somebody and go, hey, you got cancer. Not easy. It doesn't matter how long you do it. No matter how long you do this, it's not easy to stand up here. You know, like I always say, my life would be tremendously easier. Tremendously easier if I could get up and, hey, you're all cool. God loves you. You know, just do what you're going to do. He might not like, but you know, it's okay. Because we know more now than he did back in the day. So we'll just, you know, we don't believe this anymore. We don't. Yeah, that would be easy for me. Guess what? I'm not going to wind up like Eli or his sons. That's our job. You got families, you got kids, you need to address it. It doesn't matter how old they are either. The little ones are, that's not a problem. So they get older. You still got to address it. If you care one lick, you got to tell them what God says. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 isn't any better than the reading in Samuel today. It was eviscerated. It's not that long. Hey, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, no, look at your bulletins. Oh, verse 13, the end of that, and 14 and 15, and then skip 16, and then 18 and 19. How come not just 1 Corinthians 6? Let's listen to what the Holy Spirit's got to say. Well, we couldn't possibly do that because, why is that? Well, because before the part that we read, there's this little thing where Paul looks and says twice, do you not know that the immoral will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? And then says, do not be deceived, as if somebody will tell you that what I just said is wrong. Do you not know that the immoral will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Do not be deceived. Neither the immoral, idolaters, people who let things distract them from the worship of the living God, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, those who attack the faith, robbers, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Period. There's no caveats. There's no, oh, you'll learn something in the future that will make this negated. Nowhere. That's what God says. And to leave that stuff out is if Samuel would have went to Eli and said, hey, God says you're doing a pretty good job as the priest. Yeah. God says that we are blessed and we grow in the Lord when we let none of his words fall to the ground. If an alien being came and picked up the Bible and looked at it, you know, from a, I don't know anything about it, that's a book of warnings. Whoever wrote that doesn't want you to do a lot of things because it's detrimental. That's what the scriptures are. Immorality is a crime, as I said earlier, I said, hold the thought. Immorality is a crime in the pagan. But for us, it's not just a crime, it's a sacrilege. It's ingratitude. Because when we do those things, we're ungrateful for what He did for us. He did that for us, and then we stiff arm and say, yeah, thanks for doing that, but we don't have to do what you say. Sacrilege and ingratitude. Do you not know? This is what the scriptures say. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 100% of Catholics walking out of any parish right now, you say, is your body the temple of the Holy Spirit? Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, one of the few things that they might believe, that's it. Because why? That benefits them. Yeah, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You can't have it both ways. If your body can be the temple of the Holy Spirit, if you're holy, when you're unholy, your body can be the temple of Satan. And I mean that literally. When we do those things, and when I notice I say when we do those things, because that list of people that don't inherit the kingdom of heaven, that is not a list that talks about inherent tendencies. There is not a person sitting in these four walls. I usually say, I'm not talking about these four walls. There is not a person sitting in these four walls right this moment that is not in some way, shape, or form tempted to at least one, some of us several, of those things that are listed right there. Tempted to do them, but use self-control in not indulging in them. It is those who indulge in them that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, oh man, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. Yeah, he just read a list and six of them are... Don't indulge in them. That's called self-control. That is called purity. It is a fruit of the Spirit, this self-control. And it is absolutely necessary because, as I said, people will judge you by what you do. And they're supposed to. Because I say so? No, because Jesus Christ says so. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, for those who like to take notes. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Next time your Protestant friends like to wave that faith alone banner in front of you, go to that verse. Boy, it doesn't say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your faith and glorify your Father, that they may see your good works. You are supposed to do your faith. Not just think about it, just not know it, just have it in your heart to do it. That's purity. God expects it. It is a necessity. We are to, as it says specifically in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 6, shun immorality. Every other sin is outside the body, but immoral things corrupt the temple of the Holy Spirit and make it the temple of Satan. And when it's the temple of Satan, you walk around and you glorify him. Satan belly laughs in a bunch of our parishes that are loaded with people who do these things and come in and unworthily receive our Lord. It is a sacrilege. It is blasphemy. It glorifies Satan, and you carry him around in your body. So, last verse of that scripture. So, glorify God in your body. That's doing your faith. Not just thinking about it. It's not having it in your heart. Not just, I go to this parish. Glorify God in your body. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.